Good morning. It is 8 minutes now past 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in today for Joy Cardine. Well, the woods around the state of Wisconsin are just on the cusp of turning into their fall colors. And during this hour, we'll be talking about those fall colors in Wisconsin, beginning with the science behind the leaves. Later on, we'll be talking with the state secretary of tourism about some of the best places in Wisconsin to go out and actually see those colors. We'd like to hear from you as well. Do you have fall traditions, bike rides, walks, or in the woods to see the fall colors? Where do you go in Wisconsin to see the leaves change? You just go to your backyard or something beyond that? Are your trips already planned, and are there any particular areas in Wisconsin that we've just got to see? Give us a call with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also drop us a note on email. That address is talk@wpr.org. And don't forget, you can follow the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook as well. We're going to kick things off this morning by taking a look at those fall colors from a more scientific perspective. Paul Whitaker is an associate professor of biological sciences at UW-Marathon County, and he joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Gene.
Well, it is good to have you along, and for all of us who may have nodded off during that class on photosynthesis and chlorophyll and all of that, let's talk a little bit about the science behind the leaves. Why is it that leaves go from green to red to orange and all those other great colors?
Well, sure, I can talk about that. Well, leaves are green because of the pigment chlorophyll. Leaves are like the solar panels of plants that capture the energy in sunlight, and they build sugars using water that comes in through the roots and carbon dioxide from the air that comes in through little microscopic holes in the leaves. So what happens in a normal year is the leaves come out in the spring. The stems on those trees will grow through, late June, early July, and then those stems will stop, even though the leaves are still there. And the sugars that those leaves are making are used to mature the seeds and fruits that might be on the tree, and then to build up a reserve of carbohydrates in the stems and roots of the plant so that when the leaves drop off in the winter and the plant goes dormant for the winter, there's an energy reserve in the plant to start growth again the next spring, right? So what happens in a normal year is the plant late in the summer senses that the day lengths are getting shorter and the night lengths are getting longer, and it senses that winter is coming. So it builds up some scar tissue right where the leaf attaches to the stem, and that cuts off the water supply to the leaf. So the chlorophyll in the leaf begins to break down. That green color disappears, and then we start to see the reds and the oranges and the yellows, other pigments that were in the leaf all along that we just couldn't see because there was so much chlorophyll in the leaf. So in a typical year, about the same time of year in a given location, we'll start to see those vibrant color changes in the leaves.
Now, some years, though, are really, really good, and other years, not so much. And I heard you use the term normal year a couple of times there. Mm-hmm. Why is it, first of all, that some years are really spectacular? You know, everything seems a little brighter and a little crisper, and in other years, they change, but it just doesn't seem to have the same kick to it.
Right. Well, I use the term normal year specifically because this is such an abnormal year.
Yeah.
So what happens is if it's a quote normal year, so we've got reasonable levels of precipitation during the year, that photosynthesis process that I talked about can happen efficiently throughout the entire season. So all throughout that period after growth stops, so from, through July and August and into September, those leaves are building those carbohydrates and setting them aside. And so when that day length change happens, when it reaches that threshold and that abscission layer, that barrier forms, we'll get that nice color change. And that will happen pretty synchronously across all of the tree species in a given area. We'll get a really nice concentrated change of color that's very vibrant. And then the other thing that affects the color change is the weather during the fall itself. And so when we have falls, when there are bright sunny days, those other pigments in the leaf, the yellows and the oranges and the reds, are still making some sugars, but those sugars can't get out of the leaf because of that same barrier that formed that stopped the water from coming in. And that causes a real concentrated, profound color change. So the best years are the ones where the summer has normal levels of precipitation, and the falls are nice, sunny, warm days and cool nights. And that's when we get a really nice color change.
Also explains why those colors look so great against the blue fall sky.
Exactly. One of my favorites is sumac, which has that brilliant crimson-red color on many roadsides in Wisconsin in the fall. And I see that on against a blue sky, or one of my favorites is when maybe a storm or there's some clouds, and you get that brilliant purple cloud color, and that crimson against the purple is just gorgeous.
Now, this summer, as you point out, was not particularly normal in terms of weather, depending on where you were in Wisconsin. I mean, lots and lots of drought. But if you go up to northwest Wisconsin, Superior area, lots and lots of water. How do those two things affect what might be happening later on this fall?
Yeah. So I think what's going to happen this fall is I noticed even as early as a week ago here in Wausau, I've seen some trees, like I've got an ash tree in my yard that's already turning that purple color that ashes turn. I've got a maple that's showing tinges of orange already. And some trees are actually dropping their leaves while they're still green. And they're kind of a crispy green, so they've just dried up. The plant has given up. And I almost consider it like an investor that pulls investments out of the stock market and when the market is flat. The trees are just saying, there's no more water in the soil. We're just going to give up on replenishing our reserves early this year and drop the leaves and just go dormant early. So in places where there's been a lot of rain, I think you'll see trees kind of responding normally. And then again, the brilliance of the colors will depend on whether we get those warm, sunny days this fall and cool nights. I think in other places where it's been dry, you're going to see a prolonged color change because some trees might be a little bit more tolerant of the drought and so won't respond quite as dramatically in terms of an early color change or even dropping leaves green, whereas other species are just going to give up early and drop leaves green, maybe just turn brown and drop, or maybe go through their normal color changes but do it 3 to maybe even 4 weeks earlier than normal. So I think we're going to see a prolonged color change, but probably not one of the most dramatic ones that we've ever seen.
Now, as we look ahead to next year, are there going to be lingering effects of the drought and some of this weather that we've had this year on some of those trees that may have suffered during the course of the summer?
Yeah, I think there will be. I know Christmas tree growers in Wisconsin and in many places have had some significant mortality of young trees that they've planted. The trees going into winter will have, in the more drought-stricken areas, will not have the significant carbohydrate reserve that they had would have in a normal year. And so that might make them a little bit more susceptible to, say, an early frost in the springtime where the leaves come out and the leaves get frozen. They might not grow quite so vigorously as they would next year. I would suspect that the early summer drought, there were some areas, particularly in southern Wisconsin, that were very dry in June. Fruit growers might see a reduced fruit crop because those buds that form next year's flowers and fruits are formed in mid to late June, early July. And so a drought at that time, the plants may be stressed already and just not make those flower buds. So I think we will see some lingering effects on a variety of trees.
So in the meantime, this fall, just get ready and keep your eyes open. It might not be as long or as bright, but we're definitely going to have some good colors.
I think when you see some bright colors, count yourself lucky and tell your friends where to go and take a look.
Well, Paul Whitaker, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Enjoyed talking to you, Gene. Take care.
Appreciate your time. Paul Whitaker has been with us, an associate professor of biological sciences at UW-Marathon County. We've been talking about some of the science behind the changing fall colors. In just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Stephanie Klett, the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and she's going to give us some tips on where we can go and what we can expect to see when we get there as we travel around Wisconsin this fall. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
The falling leaves.
17 minutes now past 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in today for Joy Cardine. As we head into the weekend, we are taking a look ahead at some of the great fall colors and thinking about places to go in Wisconsin and things to see. And joining us during this part of the hour is Stephanie Klett, the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and she's going to be giving us some tips on where we can go and what we can look forward to seeing once we get there. Stephanie Klett, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. Nice to be here.
Well, it is nice to have you along. Now, I noticed on your Facebook page you've been traveling a bit. Are you in Wisconsin?
I am. I'm just back from Boston and New Orleans. The Wisconsin Department of Tourism, literally it was a statewide effort, won a national award at the United States Travel Association in Boston for our public relations and media with Mittengate, which generated about $17 million of earned media for the state of Wisconsin.
We can talk about Mittengate a little later because I'm already intrigued by that. But first, let's compare and contrast. How are the fall colors in Boston and New Orleans compared to what we can expect to see in Wisconsin?
Well, you know what? I think they're going to have a very similar year to us. They've had some of the same problems and challenges. Rain in certain areas, less rain in others. So there's, I think, might even be a little more schizophrenic. But not too long ago, I was in Minocqua, and the peaks were really changing. And what's nice at the Department of Tourism is on our website, we have a fall color report. So no matter where you are in the state, all 72 counties are on the map, and we have over 100 fall color reporters that update this weekly, where the colors are at, if they're at 25%, 50% peak. And as they come into full bloom, they update it daily. And so that's kind of a nice feature to have because a lot of times people say, let's go for a fall color drive, and then you realize you either missed it or it's too early.
Yeah, and by the way, we've got a link to that site posted on our Facebook page for listeners who would like to check it out. And by the way, if listeners would like to check in with us this morning, too, 800-642-1234. If you've got a question for a guest about the fall colors, or if you'd like to tip us off to a great location in Wisconsin where we can take a look at the fall leaves for ourselves. Now, Stephanie Klett, before you started working for the Department of Tourism, you spent almost a couple decades traveling around the state. And when you think about places in Wisconsin that have great fall colors, you know, what are some of your criteria for that? What do you think about when you want to go someplace great?
Well, one is just the landscape of the area and its geography. So immediately I'm pulled to Wausau with Rib Mountain because of how high the hill is. It just makes for a spectacular drive and hike. Also, I love fall colors along the water. So the Wisconsin Great River Road parallels the Mississippi River for 250 miles from Prescott in the north to Keeler in the south. And I love this because you have the trains going by. You're on this beautiful, you know, national scenic byway, and you go through 33 unique communities, some which are, you know, the oldest in Wisconsin. And if you want to stop off at a community like Stockholm or Trempealeau, you know, you'll find wineries and bicycling and boating and paddling and paddle boats. So I really look for diversity of landscape and things to do. And again, when you have the added bonus of water, there are times when our fall colors get so spectacular and they're mirrored in the water that it's hard to tell where the forest is and where the water is. It's spectacular.
Now, I was just in northern Wisconsin. I've been there a couple times in the last couple of weeks, and you can just sort of see things kind of on the cusp of changing. Are there any places in the state, to your knowledge, and I guess we should go back and talk a little bit more about that leaf report map, that are already in full bloom, or are we still just a little bit ahead of the game here?
Yeah, there's nowhere in the state is in full bloom right now. So the tips and even a quarter way in the north are happening. And what's interesting is it really depends, too, when you're surrounded by so much water, like Indore County or Bayfield and the Apostle Islands, a lot of times, even if we're early in the southern part of the state, they might be a little later. Door County tends to be protected, and that's one of the things that I like because it really extends the season, where if things are peaking the third or fourth week of September, they might not peak until, you know, mid-October. And so that's why I like that fall color report guide, because you think, well, gosh, they're 4 hours north of where I live. Why aren't they, you know, turning? So you just never know when an area is surrounded by a lot of water.
800-642-1234. If you would like to chime in with a favorite place in Wisconsin to view the fall colors, a favorite location, a place with water, or even a place without, there are plenty of those too. Now, when you are out on a trip, Stephanie Klett, and you're taking in the leaves, do you just do that all by itself? I mean, there's lots of other activities to do. You mentioned some of the places to go and things to see. But watching leaves in and of itself is not a bad thing. But what other sorts of things can people look forward to doing in Wisconsin during the fall?
Well, I tell you, we have so many awesome festivals. It's hard to even know where to begin. Because I brought up Bayfield, mm-hmm. let me give you something to put on your calendar now. And it's October, I believe it's 5th through the 7th. But they have their 51st annual Bayfield Apple Festival. And they tend to do that when they are at peak. But this event, a lot of people don't know that Bayfield's the orchard capital of Wisconsin. So it's not just apples, but strawberries, blueberries, raspberries. It's real conducive for fruits up there. So they have live performances from Big Top Chautauqua and downtown Bayfield. They have great arts and crafts. I mean, these are some of the best artisans in the Midwest. They have apple everything. You know, the apple cider, the apple beer, apple wine, apple bratwurst. And then they do on Sunday one of the most spectacular parades I've seen in the state. And they have like a volunteer band. But some of these folks have played professionally. Some have been in the UW-Madison band in their past. And they all wear red and white. And they descend playing on Wisconsin down the beautiful hill, Rittenhouse Avenue, with Lake Superior and the Apostle Islands as the backdrop, this sea of red. It is such a spectacular sight to see. And when you're at Apple Fest, take the ferry boat over to Madeline Island. It's a whole different vibe there, but they have Big Bay State Park, and they have a wonderful wood boardwalk and unique colors. And again, with the geography and the geology, they have the outcroppings with the bluffs, and it's really a special spot. So that's one of the places that I would say, if you've never experienced Bayfield's Apple Fest, put it on your calendar at least once in your life. You'll be glad you did, and I think you'll probably go back over and over again.
And I can tell you this from personal experience, you should call early if you want to get a room.
Yes, that is true. And, you know, lucky, I tend to call late, and they're always booked up, but I say, put me on a waiting list, and every year I've ended up getting in. So that's the other option.
All right, a good tip. And it's not just because of the weight you carry as Secretary of the Department?
No.
800-642-1234. Give us a call with your fall travel plans. Are you planning to go on any trips to see Wisconsin's fall colors? Don't forget, you can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page as well. And while you are there, you can participate in our Where in Wisconsin is the WPR Magnet Contest. We've posted a picture with the WPR Magnet in it. You can comment on the picture with your guess of where it is here in the state of Wisconsin. Coming up later on today, we'll randomly select a winner from the correct answers and send him or her a WPR car magnet. So you've got something to look forward to there. And, you know, I haven't seen the picture yet this morning, so I don't know if it's got fall colors in it yet or not. So you'll have to go to the Facebook page yourself and check it out. In the meantime, give us a call at 800-642-1234. Stephanie Klett, as I mentioned before, you've been around the state of Wisconsin an awful lot. Have you noticed differences in the fall colors between certain parts of the state? I mean, there's all good to talk about here. But, you know, is it better in northern Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin, western Wisconsin? And are there differences?
Well, that's a good question. And there's definitely, you know, 40% of our state is covered in forest. So I love the northern part with the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest, whether it's northeast or northwest Wisconsin. There is just a lushness. I mean, when you have a national forest in full bloom, it's really hard to beat that. But there are some differences. Lake Geneva has a spectacular fall colors almost every year. And it has something to do with the way the area is situated. And, again, it has gorgeous Lake Geneva, you know, 21 miles around the lakeshore path. But they also sometimes, even in southern Wisconsin, will turn just a little bit later. But because, again, they have so much forested land and, of course, a state park, there's a lushness and richness to the color. you know, the Great River Road is very different. It's more elongated. And so once you get to La Crosse and Granddad's Bluff, again, there's that richness. And I really want to recommend Granddad's Bluff. If you haven't been there a few months ago, they celebrated 100 years of Granddad Bluff. And it overlooks the Mississippi, you know, Riverway. It's absolutely gorgeous. It overlooks, you know, the city of La Crosse and the university. But they also have so many great fall celebrations. Of course, Oktoberfest is their most famous. It's the Midwest's largest German festival. And that happens September 28th through October 6th, when usually they're in full fall spectacular colors. So, you know, that's a great event where you can have that fall drive, see great colors. Again, there's the water, but they do a maple leaf parade and a torchlight parade, which is just beautiful. You know, they do the live music downtown, carnival. It's just a really neat event to go along with your fall color drive.
And if you are in the know, you stick around for through Thursday for the torchlight parade, because that's where all the locals come out.
Yes, and you're right, they do. The locals come out for that, and of course, the tapping of the golden keg.
Yeah, the locals come out for that, too, in a very big way. 800-642-1234. Stephanie Klett is with us from the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. She is the secretary there. And we're talking about fall colors this hour. Great fall colors here in Wisconsin, as the leaves are just on the edge of really turning into something spectacular. We're talking about some of the great things to do, some of the great places to go see, and what the fall color forecast looks like. Again, we've got a link to those fall colors posted on our Facebook page. You can take a look at the map of Wisconsin, click on the county where you are, and see what the forecast looks like. We're going to return with Stephanie Klett, take a break for news, and we'll be back. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
The falling leaves drift by the window.
It's 6:36 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in today for Joy Cardine. We're talking with Wisconsin's Tourism Secretary, Stephanie Klett, about the best places and best ways to take in the fall colors that are soon to blanket the state's landscape. Before we get back to that, though, it is time for this week's Wisconsin Life. As kids head back to school this week, we take a minute to appreciate the wonders of the ABCs. At the Hamilton Woodtype and Printing Museum in Two Rivers, Jim Moran curates the largest collection of woodtype in the world, thousands of letters in hundreds of fonts.
My dad and my grandfather were both printers. I think of probably being 10 years old and hand-setting my name in type and then printing it. There was something very magical to me about being able to transfer those letters into a printed piece. Over the years, I recall thinking that I was learning something that was very much an obsolete craft, and why did I have to learn it? You're in the middle of 20,000 square feet of wood type heaven. The names are kind of wonderful. Things like antique, Tuscan, concave. There is Davini, there's Garamond and Baskerville. And within a given piece of type, at the bottom is the foot, there is the shoulder, the beard. So they have these really great similarities very much with the human face. They are beautiful shapes, but the other thing that I think about is it has this very wonderful comparison with music. With type, we can use it over and over again, so that if you used a given font to set any number of words, I could take the same font and set a completely different word. So in my mind, it's almost like picking up an old guitar and playing a new song. One of my main type cutters, Norbrilski, is now 87. And so he doesn't come in so much. His daughter, Georgie, gave me a hard time about not doing enough to record him and make sure that we saved all of his knowledge on how to cut type. Well, she was here with her daughter that day, and I said, you should listen to yourself. Here you are, second and third generation typecutters, as far as I'm concerned. Why don't you learn to do it yourself? And she has very much taken it to heart. So in front of us, you get to see brand new type. You have a pattern, and you have a block of wood, and so the tracer and the rotor become your tools. You turn the rotor on. It spins about 50,000 revolutions a minute, and then as you trace the letter, the rotor is cutting the type. So it takes about 20 seconds. So, an almost perfectly finished Z. So a good type cutter makes about 3 letters a minute. I have never been accused of being a good type cutter, but I'm still working on it. So much has been lost. So much of this industry was simply fed into the dumpster because we had new technologies. And if you had been a career printer and you had been using this type for your whole career, the idea of just letting it go, you know, when you handled every piece and you locked it up and you inked it and cleaned it and swore at it and everything else that happens in the print shop, I think that a lot of it is buried anywhere from barns to basements.
Jim Moran curates the Hamilton Wood Type and Printing Museum in Tri-Rivers, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is produced by Ann Strangehamps and Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from the Mead Witter Foundation of Wisconsin Rapids. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org, and don't forget to find Wisconsin Life on Facebook. It is 20 minutes now before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in today for Joy Cardine. We sure hope she is back on Monday and ready to take up this microphone again. In the meantime, I'm here with Stephanie Klett for the rest of this hour. She is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and we're talking about fall colors in Wisconsin, where you can go to see them, what you can expect to get there, and some of the great places to go. If you've got a tip for listeners, give us a call right now. We've got some open lines for you at 800-642-1234. If you've got a great fall color tradition, or if you'd like to let listeners know where you go to see the leaves change, 800-642-1234. Stephanie Klett, during the news there from Wisconsin Public Radio, there was a news story this morning, I wasn't aware of this, about the smartphone app for looking to find out where the best fall colors are. I had no idea.
Absolutely. We are embracing the digital community. So travelers can now post and tag their own photos and rate other travelers' photos on our TravelWisconsin.com website. And we have launched the mobile version of the report. So you just use your smartphone to track color wherever you are in the state. So it's a great tool to use when you're already at the destination and you want to map out a scenic drive or find an event. So we're very happy to embrace the digital aspect of technology. But Gene, I have one more really great drive that I think would be out of the ordinary for most of your listeners.
All right, hit me.
Well, Lakewood, which is in Oconto County, northeast Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and Leona, which is Forest County, which mm-hmm. borders Vilas County, they have an auto tour through the Shawamigan National Forest. So you can actually drive a loop around the Lakewood and mountain areas, and it features 17 stops. And at these stops, it'll highlight wildlife, natural history, forest management, and different historic sites, including the Mountain Fire Lookout Tower. And this is a tower you can climb up, and it's actually listed on the National Register of Historic Places. So when you talk about like a great view, you know, climb that fire lookout tower, and it's just beautiful. But as you drive on, a little bit off the beaten path, you're going to find Camp 5, and that's in Leona. And it is in Wisconsin, a pretty famous logging camp. They have a farm as well and a museum. And throughout Saturday in September from the 22nd to the 29th and into the first Saturday of October, which is October 6th, what I love, and you can do this in about 5 places in Wisconsin, they have, Leona is famous for the Lumberjack Steam Train. So talk about a unique opportunity. You can experience fall color on the Lumberjack Steam Train. And the steam train brings you to a pumpkin patch where they have live music and fresh apple cider. So it's really kind of a quintessential piece of Americana in Wisconsin, is just to be on this great steam train and have the opportunity to, you know, pick your pumpkin and have your cider. But that is a really neat auto tour if you're wanting to drive something a little out of the ordinary.
And I have to tell you, you had me at Fire Tower, so that was good there. We have a Facebook comment here. Luke on Facebook says, the car club I'm a member of is planning a fall cruise on September 28th through the 30th in the Wisconsin Dells area. Says it should be a good time for cruising in our hot rods. So, Stephanie Klett, what's your forecast for Luke's route through the Dells at the end of September? Is it going to have some good colors?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he is. And, of course, in September, I believe, is when Wisconsin Dells has its Wajawa Days Festival. And that's really kind of the last, when they're closing out summer, embracing fall, and the shops are wanting to get rid of, you know, of all of their wares and so they can start anew. But, of course, it has the Wisconsin River, which is just beautiful. And along the Dells, there's some gorgeous areas. But what I would recommend is that they hit Baraboo. You know, for it's a whole 12 miles from Wisconsin Dells. And Devil's Lake State Park is one of the premier places to see fall colors in the state. Aside from the fact that you'll have to park that car and do some very active hiking. And it is a hike. I know many of your listeners have hiked Devil's Lake State Park. It's one of the most visited state parks. But what I love is every year I always take a fall vacation for one day at Devil's Lake State Park. If you go from Sunday to Thursday, you virtually own that park. And again, the fall colors with the beautiful bluffs are mirrored in the lake, and it is just exquisite. So that's what I would do if I was in the Dells area, is I'd make sure that I hit Baraboo and the Baraboo Hills, just really a beautiful area. And, you know, and not too far from there, just keep driving, keep riding, and go more west and more south. And we have the Lower Wisconsin River Road, which is Highway 60, and this is the Driftless region. So, you know, you've got the rolling hills in rural Wisconsin along Highway 60, and it follows the Lower Wisconsin River. And, you know, you'll find a lot of great attractions like House on the Rock and Taliesin and American Players Theater. So that's another great one with a 100-mile stretch of the Wisconsin Byway.
Let's bring in a few listeners who would like to give us some tips about where they'd like to go. And by the way, if you'd like to join in, 800-642-1234. Judy is with us from Ripon. Good morning.
Hi. I know that you guys had talked about La Crosse and Granddad's Bluff, but it doesn't stop at La Crosse. Granddad's Bluff is beautiful, to be sure, but if you continue to go south on Highway 35, there is more than one lookout point along that route where you can see the Mississippi River and the beautiful fall leaves. And one of the most undiscovered secrets in our state is the Gaze Mills apple area in the all the apple orchards along the Kickapoo River. And there's multiple lookouts there where you can stand and you can see the Kickapoo River Valley and all the leaves. And it's the Driftless area as well. And I think it's even more beautiful than Door County. Door County gets so much press and so much advertisement. And southwestern Wisconsin is by far, you know, superior. It's just phenomenal.
You know, and you bring up a good point, too, with that area of the Kickapoo. And the Kickapoo is one of those few rivers that flows north, south, east, and west. But that area is so special with Viroqua and Lafarge and Ontario. And, of course, they have the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, which is just, you know, a great place to explore and bicycle and fall colors. But you are right. And it's extremely unspoiled. There is not a lot of traffic, and I think you bring up a good point. It really is one of the hidden gems in the state.
And easy to get lost in if you don't know where you're going.
It is true.
Yeah, don't ask me how I know that. Linda is with us now from Ripon. Hi, Linda.
Hi. My favorite place to go is to the Green Lake Harvest Festival, and I go there with my Belgians attached to a hay wagon. We're in the they have a wonderful little parade on Saturday evening, the September 29th. It's a lot of fun, and look for us with our big boys.
It sounds like a great time. So Green Lake, and that's coming up when, Linda? I already forgot. End of September?
September 29th.
September 29th.
All right.
Yeah, and Green Lake, of course, is one of the deepest inland lakes in the state of Wisconsin. And they have a boat cruise and, of course, you know, great accommodations, charming bed and breakfast. They have boat rentals. And, of course, if you're a golfer, that's an area. If you love fall golf, because I have friends that we all claim the older we get, we're fair-weather golfers now, and we like golfing in fall and spring and not summer. But they have the state's oldest golf course there as well. But that's another gorgeous area. And it really is interesting because your two callers bring up good points. It really is, depending on the area you're in, each has such a radically different feel. And that's one of the great things about our state. If you're in southwest Wisconsin, you do have that rolling terrain in the driftless area. If you're in the North Woods, you do have the National Forest. If you're in Green Lake, you have the gorgeous lake country. So two really good tips.
All right, Stephanie Klett is with us from the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. We're talking about some of the great places to go to see some of the fall colors. We'd like to hear from you, too. If you've got a fall trip you'd like to tell us about, give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Facebook page, and while there, don't forget to participate in our Where in Wisconsin is the WPR Magnet Contest. We've got that picture there with the WPR Magnet on it. You can comment on the picture. Guess where it is here in Wisconsin. Later on today, we'll be selecting a winner randomly with the correct answer, and you win a fabulous prize, which basically is the Wisconsin Public Radio radio magnet, but fabulous nonetheless. Taking a look at Wisconsin weather for today, it is going to be cloudy and cool throughout the state, scattered showers with highs in the mid to upper 60s. Tonight, decreasing clouds back down into the 40s for a low. Tomorrow, for the weekend, looks sunny and mild. A slight chance of showers later on, with a high of around 70, lows back into the 40s, and then the extended forecast for Sunday and Monday. It's going to be sunny and mild. Highs will be in the 70s, lows back down into the 40s and 50s. And on Tuesday, sunny and warmer with a slight chance of showers. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Been to Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin.
It's 9 minutes now before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon here on the Ideas Network, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. And a look at the news that's been in the week that was today and your views on the news coming up after 4 with Ben Marins. For the rest of this hour, we are talking Wisconsin with Wisconsin Secretary of the Department of Tourism. Stephanie Klett is with us and specifically talking about Wisconsin, about where to go to check out the fall colors. If you've got a place you'd like to go, give us that call, 800-642-1234. Stephanie Klett, earlier in the hour, we had a call who couldn't stay on but wanted to tip us off to Copper Falls State Park.
Oh, Copper Falls State Park in Mellon, in between Mellon and Butternut, is gorgeous. And Copper Falls State Park has two waterfalls that come together and just form this whirlpool. It has a great hiking area. It's lush forest, and it is one of those places. Again, one of, I think, Wisconsin's assets, top assets, are our state parks. They're incredible. And Copper Falls State Park is one of the best. So that tip, thank you for the caller for calling in, because that is definitely one you should put on your list. And another one, if you like that just kind of gorgeous scenery that stops you in your tracks, Interstate Park. Interstate Park in Polk County in St. Croix Falls is the oldest state park in Wisconsin. It's about 105 years old. And, of course, they have the Dalles there. They have the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway. And you talk about a fall drive. Drive along the St. Croix National, you know, Scenic Riverway. That is fantastic. And if you're adventurous and you like to kayak, if you want to take a paddle boat, it's all at Interstate Park. If you want to bike the area, that's gorgeous. Then that's northwest Wisconsin. And if you go a little further north than that, you'll be in Burnett County. And this is for my friends out there that love wildlife. So you want to see the fall colors, but you're a bird nerd like myself. Craig's Meadows is 30,000 acres. So it's one of the largest state-owned wildlife areas in Wisconsin. And they have over 270 species of birds. They have at least 86 butterflies, 720 species of plants. But you get to drive. It's a drive through Craig's Meadows. And it's kind of fun because geese will stop your car.
And I'll bet they will.
Oh, they balk at you and they scare me. And so, you know, you kind of sit there. But this area, it's just neat. They have, you know, a wide variety of mammals and amphibians and insects. And it was originally part of the Wisconsin Pine Barrens. And now it's the state's largest remaining portion of this really endangered ecosystem. And so they have a rare sedge marsh and brush prairie habitats. It is spectacular. And, of course, they get trumpeter swans, too, in the fall. But if you want a fall drive where you are in the thick of nature and able to see it up close, Crex Meadows is a great place to go.
All right, let's take a call now. Candy is with us from Harvard, Illinois. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My husband and I, for our wedding and for our honeymoon, we went up to Fontana for a trip. And every year for our anniversary, we try and make it up there sometime at some point in Fontana. And it's absolutely beautiful if we try and get up there at the end of September.
And so what is it about Fontana that really strikes your fancy, Candy?
Just some of the lakes in that area and the leaves as they reflect off the lakes. I'm a photographer. I've been a photographer for over 21 years. So I love to get some of the pictures up there of the fall colors.
And so you found yourself a Fontana. Have you thought about going someplace else, or Fontana's the place you got to get to?
I love to travel, and I love just anywhere that I can get some excellent pictures. So I travel to the Dells, to Baraboo, to Devil's Lake. Being in northern Illinois, going up into Wisconsin is just a hop, skip, and a jump away. So, going up there and going to Lake Geneva or to Baraboo or any of those places is just absolutely wonderful. But Fontana, it's got a special meaning because that's, you know, where my husband and I took our first trip as a married couple.
All right. Well, thanks so much for the call. And that is a nice story, isn't it?
It is. And Jean, she's right on the money. I had mentioned Lake Geneva, and Fontana and Williams Bay and Lake Geneva are all, of course, on Geneva Lake. And she's right. And I don't have the words for it. There is something magical about this area in fall. The colors, the trees, the lushness of the reds and orange. You know, when you have that thought of what fall is supposed to be, when you go to this area where she was just talking about, it's everything fall is supposed to be, and mirrored on beautiful Geneva Lake. So she is right on the money with that choice.
We've just got a couple minutes left, Stephanie Klett. So what do you plan to do this fall to get out and check out the fall foliage?
Okay, well, I am doing my annual pilgrimage to Devil's Lake State Park.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for you there.
Absolutely. I'll be up in the Eagle River area, so I love the fall color on the chain of lakes. And, of course, Eagle River has the world's largest and longest chain of lakes, 28 chains. So, I mean, it's just fall colors around you, fall colors in the water. There are a couple events that I will be attending that, for me, it's not fall without going there. And one of them that you have to put on your list is, you know, the small town of Warrens, population 300,
mm-hmm.
Turns into population 100,000 for their Warrens Cranberry Festival. So that's the last weekend of September, the 28th through the 30th. The fall colors in Monroe County are just beautiful. But because it's their 40th anniversary, I'll be part of cutting a huge whoopie pie that weighs one ton. And they're trying to break the world record whoopie pie contest.
Well, I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Me too. So that's on my calendar. And, of course, La Crosse's Oktoberfest is just fantastic. So I head over there as well. It's the largest German festival in the Midwest, and it's a great place to go to see fall colors. And then you head north on the Great River Road, and you can't beat it.
Well, Stephanie Klett, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yep, thank you, Gene.
You bet. Stephanie Klett is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and earlier this hour talking with Paul Whitaker about some of the fall colors around the state of Wisconsin. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.